EU politics rather lends itself to comedy, so it's surprising that it took this long for a live comedy sketch show to emerge from it, but here it is at last. The Schumann Show is now being performed on the last Thursday of every month in Brussels. We talked to one of the founders.
My name is Kelly Agathos. I am a improv performer, a teacher, and a trainer. I specialize in unscripted theater. That's what improvisation is. But I also do voiceovers and scripted work as well.
Tell me where the idea came from to launch a comedy sketch show about the European bubble.
Well, we have to go way back to when before I became a full-time improviser, because I used to work in EU affairs for 9 years. I did the rounds. I worked for the permanent representation of the UK. I worked for the European Commission, the European Parliament. I worked for an NGO. And during my time working within EU affairs, something that me and my friends would always talk about, or and my colleagues, was how bad the EU is at communicating about itself. And especially when I left, one of the areas that I got most of my corporate work from, using exercises from the world of improvisation, was in communication. Because improvisers are very good storytellers, and they're very good at knowing what you need to say and how to make it understandable both to your players and to the audience at large. I was getting a lot of work in storytelling and in communication in general, public speaking, presentations, and that in and of itself, the fact that so much work needed to be done to break down the messaging, whether it was an NGO or an institution or some organization that was EU adjacent, further went to show that we really talk to our own little bubble. We use very technocratic language and jargon, and it can sometimes feel a bit like, well, no wonder people around Europe aren't that engaged and the EU elections have such a low turnout, or that Brexit happened. I truly believe that Brexit happened because the UK population as a whole did not, I think now they know a little more, having gone through the process, what the EU actually did. It only heard those mostly lies or facts that were kind of manipulated about the EU in the tabloids. Already, it's the fact that we don't have our own pop culture. One of the reasons I think that people don't care that much about the EU outside of Brussels, where of course we do, is that if you're living in Greece or Portugal or France, how is it that you come across the EU on a day-to-day basis? It's probably when governments say, no, don't look at us, Brussels made us do it. And one of the reasons this happens is because there is not a conversation nationally unless there's some sort of big crisis going on. Whereas you see in the States, for example, you have a lot of talk shows, you have all the late night shows, and even Saturday Night Live that are always engaging with the politics of the day. And the first thing that happens in those monologues is that the news of the day gets distilled down into humorous bite-sized pieces. In fact, I myself consume a lot of the late night shows because, especially during the Trump years, it's very hard to read the news. It's very hard to read it and not lose your faith in humanity. Whereas, jokes help us cope. Humor helps us cope. And humor also boosts retention. There's a lot of studies happening now about laughter, the benefits of laughter for the workplace, in education, for schools. And it's true, like if you're laughing, you are learning. And I think that those are the two things that are missing from the conversation. We don't have a pop culture around Europe about what goes on.
A sort of European pop culture.
Yeah, we don't have a pan-European pop culture. We have national pop culture. We have an international pop culture, which mostly is facing towards the US, because you probably know John Oliver and Trevor Noah and Seth Meyers and Stephen Colbert and all those guys. Most of the people who I talk to the Schumann Show about, the way I describe it is it's a cross between Saturday Night Live and a US late night talk show. So my co-founder, Lisa Wittman, is a fantastic investigative journalist, and we bonded this time last year over exactly these issues. How can we communicate the EU in a fun and humorous way and get people engaged? And how can we also reflect Brussels back to the people who are working in this sphere? The reason why I think the show is already so popular is because people want to engage with the issues that they're working on in a fun way, in a funny way, and to kind of have a mirror looking at themselves back. The West Wing exists, the House of Cards, Veep, all these shows about US politics also exist. And I think they prove that, that people want to see it, whether they're working or not, because they're curious about that world. So we've got, aside from Lisa, who's our fact checker, our investigative journalist, we have Paul Dallison, who some people might know from Politico. He's one of the editors there, and he also writes a humorous column called Declassified. We have Tristan Barber, who's a young up-and-coming stand-up from Brussels and an improviser as well. We have Louise Day, who's got sketch writing experience and also is an improv. We have Craig Winokur, who's formerly also from Politico and wrote a lot for the Press Review. Some people might know the Press Review. It's the Brussels version of the Correspondents' Dinner in a way, with humorous sketches rather than one person emceeing. And we also have Barry McKeon, who is another stand-up and a very good impressionist. He's come on the show a few times to do Angela Merkel, and all these people write and perform.
And they're kind of a mix of journalists or people who worked for the EU and also actors. So it's kind of these two worlds coming together in a way that you were looking to do, actually.
Exactly. Every one of them either has worked or works in the Brussels bubble. And so they know the world that we're satirizing very well. And they feel the same way. They want to make relevant, witty, satirical content that is not just, not just for laughs necessarily, but also kind of might poke someone and make them think a little more about a given issue.
So your first show was last month. How did it go?
It was amazing. It was sold out in 4 days. We were all a little bit shocked. It was in the basement of Le Reservoir Bar, so it felt very underground. 50 seats. And when we realized that, we realized, okay, we're going to need a bigger boat. So we booked a 250-seater for this edition, which is on the 28th of October. We're almost sold out there too. There are 5 tickets left. So I think that is also proving that people want this. People want to laugh at themselves. They want to digest European news in a humorous way, and maybe also find another way to communicate about it with their loved ones across the globe. At the moment, we are doing one live show a month, but we do have video content on our website and across our social media. And because we want to start a Europe-wide conversation and we want really there to be European pop culture, we will be doing more and more online as time goes by.
This month, the Schumann Show is in a venue in San Jose. Last month, yeah. It was somewhere else in Marol. So will it be in a different place every month?
We will be at the Claridge venue, both for the October and the November show. I think it really depends on, I mean, if we keep selling out at this rate, then we might have no choice but to book something bigger.
Who came to your first show? Was it mostly people working for the EU?
We had a lot of journalists, actually. We had, which makes sense, communicating the EU if they're passionate about that. We had a lot of people from the institutions working in and around the institutions, lobbyists, civil servants, and also some people who are friends of friends who don't work in that environment. Mm-hmm. And for them, it was a little more of an educational experience. They kind of got a bit of to peek into our world.
And do you feel like people laughed at all the places you expected them to, or were there any kind of surprise reactions?
They laughed more than we thought, actually. I remember our very first, we did a pilot show back in June, just with a closed audience, invite only, just to try some stuff out. I put on the wig and I was playing Ursula von der Leyen. And the first thing that happened once I got on stage was I sat in a chair. And because of Sofagate, everyone was laughing the moment I sat myself down on the chair. The sketch hadn't even started. It just goes to show how some symbolic stuff that have happened here, their impact is just immediately recognizable. And also the truth is funny. I keep saying this also because I teach improv with my school, Impro Bubble. And what we teach is that comedy comes as a consequence of the scenes you're playing and not as an aim in and of itself. The truth sometimes is funnier than anything we can make up. So sometimes it's about finding what is funny in the news, what is already funny in the news.
If people do miss out on getting tickets this month, when can they buy a ticket to the November show?
Okay, so pro tip, we will be releasing pre-releasing tickets to people on our mailing list. So if you go to schumannshow.eu and you click under tickets, you'll see that there is a link to the October show, and then above there is a place you can subscribe to get our newsletters. They will be the first people to get the link to buy tickets. And after that, we'll put out the link on the website for general release.